Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing today?
I'm good. I finally caught up with the Abroad in Japan output from the last few weeks. I've just not been in front of a computer. I've not been, because I prefer to experience your YouTubery on a big screen. I can't be asked a small screen, actually, unfortunately. So, yeah, I've not sat down with a hearty lunch and watch your stuff. So, yeah, you and Pete tottering around the freezing East Island heads of North Japan. I mean, Peter is a goddamn charisma bomb. I've met the guy. I thought he was very nice, but I hadn't seen him in front of a camera. My God, that guy switches it on. Fuck me. It's
like,
amazing.
It's like if Pete Donaldson had an American accent and took speed. That is Pete from... That's the other Pete.
I can see why he does NHK.
Yeah, I mean, he's like perfect, isn't he? The sort of quintessential upbeat American. I love that on Japanese TV. But people keep asking, are all my friends called Pete? No, they're not, just two. Mm. But they're both eccentric nutters. They were great in front of a camera. But yeah, he did great. We did that and it was a lot of fun. And we're trying to like boost his Twitch at the moment. We're talking about, for those of you who haven't seen it, Pete and I went to Hokkaido, to the most northern point in Japan. It was a 3-day expedition that ended, for the most part, in success. And it was a lot of fun. But he's started a Twitch channel. He's a teacher in a prestigious school in Tokyo. I don't think he likes the job that much, or he wants to quit eventually. And so he's doing Twitch, and the whole idea was to try and shout him out on that trip and boost that. And he's off to a good start. Yeah. A lot of people have been tuning in. So go and check him out. It's good.
Very, very charismatic young man. But yeah, check out the videos.
But yeah, I also did a live show as well the other night on the second channel, Chris Abroad, just showcasing these little toys, these retro Japanese toys, the record player, the cassette player from the 1980s. Pretty cracking. Mm. So Pete's got like Pete Donaldson kind of stamped all over it.
They are beautiful little things. And it's a sort of short run little bits of chunks of plastic, kind of evoking memories of yesteryear that I think everyone can get it behind. Lovely.
We've got a story this week from a chap called Gabby. It's a girl. It's a girl called Gabby, and there's a photo.
It's a girl.
And it involves a drunken person at a restaurant, which is how most of our stories begin. Hey, Confident Chris and Perilous Pete. In the last podcast episode, you asked for stories about meeting celebrities in Japan. Whilst this man isn't a celebrity, like Tom Hanks. Oh, yeah. Remember the Tom Hanks story?
Yes.
One of our listeners went into like a restaurant that sold some chicken, and the woman lured them in by saying the magical words, Tom Hanks came here for lunch once. And that's like all over the wall with just photos of Tom Hanks. Anyway, Gabby continues. My boyfriend and I were visiting a yakitori skewered meat bar in Hiroshima. This was our second time visiting, as the owner was a pretty quality individual. We placed our orders, and I noticed this man staring at me from the bar. He called over the chef and asked, what are we drinking? beer and orange juice, the chef replies. Not combined, I hope. That sounds like a Pete Donaldson cocktail. The chef replied, beer and orange juice. All of a sudden, he orders something and out comes the largest bottle of alcohol that I've ever seen, along with enough glasses for the whole bar. He dishes out rounds of a honey-coloured alcohol to the patrons of the bar, and then grabs an additional two glasses with ice in, as well as the comically large bottle of alcohol, and drags himself over to our table and takes a seat. My boyfriend and I looked at each other like, uh-oh, what's going on here? The man, and this is, to be fair, this is a frightening situation in Japan. Right? This isn't something that Japanese people normally do, unless they're in the Yakuza or they're thoroughly drunk. The man wordlessly pours us a glass each of the mystery alcohol and slowly points to himself and points to a picture on the wall. Japanese cyclist, he says to us. Confused, we try and talk to this chap in broken Japanese and English. Eventually, through him showing us many videos on his phone and our broken communication, we learn that he's part of a Japanese Olympic cycling team who had just won their qualifying race in Kyoto.
Wow.
It's not exactly Tom Hanks, but that's pretty cool. More comfortable now. I take a sip of the drink he gave us, and it turns out it's Umeshu, plum wine. Wonderful. He asks us where we're from, and we tell him Australia. He starts listing off things in the usual fashion. Ho, 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 kangaroo. Yes, mate. Big, big fire. Oh, God. Yes, mate. It was during the bushfires in January 2022. Right. 2020. Eventually, his glass is empty and he goes to refill it and sees our glasses on our table are now empty. He looks really confused for a moment, comes back to our table and wordlessly pours us both more plum wine. Oh, God, we think to ourselves. Now we're socially obligated to stay and drink, but my partner's persistent. He downs the glass of Umeshu in an effort to show we're ready to leave. The man gasps, downs his Umeshu in turn, and pours us both new glasses. Me being a bit more informed on drinking culture, I leave my glass a little bit quarter full so as not to be refilled. That's a really interesting point, actually. If you empty your plate or empty your glass in Japan, you're basically asking for it to be refilled. If you don't want any more alcohol from some generous benefactor or a chef or whatever, don't eat everything. Leave a little bit of food in the plate or in the glass. Eventually, the cyclist leaves to go to the bathroom. And I stand up and say, okay, we should probably leave quickly before we're force-fed more alcohol. The waiter, who hadn't spoken any English until now, said, yes, you should escape. You should escape right now. I make a break for the door and my partner stops, looks at his full drink, and then looks at the rest of the cycling team, who had been quietly chuckling at their teammate the whole time. He stares them dead in the eye and shotguns the entire glass in about a second. They all nod approvingly at him and wave us goodbye. We got home to stuff ourselves with cheesecake and pass out on our Airbnb. I hope one day I can visit the bar again once everything opens back up. And attached is a photo. Keep up the good work, guys. Gabby. And there's a photo of Gabby and her husband and a very drunk-looking man, Japanese man with a hat. He's licking his finger with his eyes closed.
Can you imagine how, I whenever you see cyclists, like their legs are disgusting, like absolutely gigantic. I just always assume that cyclists are really clean living. The ones that aren't on the cocktail of speed and amphetamines that they inject into their leg, the old pop bells. But I always sort of see them as being quite clean living. And I think Umeshu wouldn't really be on their radar, but you know, clearly the Japanese do it differently. Enjoyable.
I think, nice Umeshu, whenever I order it, my friends like Natsuki or Yuki, they always bully me. They're like, oh, not a man's drink. And I'm like, fuck off. I like Umeshu. Screw you. I'm drinking my plum wine. It's amazing. I think if it was in a really big bottle, it probably had the plums in it. Like, if you want to drink Umeshu and be more manly, more masculine, so you don't get bullied by your friends, get one of them that has like the plums in the bottle where they've clearly just put the plums in, then, you know, poured in the shochu, the sake, to just leave it over time. That looks a bit cooler.
Is it Meshu one of those kind of wines where you have to drink it all in one go? You know, like if you keep a bottle of wine, you can't really keep it. I'm always sort of, because there's a bottle of like plum wine I got from China that I brought back, and it's in the fridge. It's Stakhanov Towers, and it's obviously it's not going to be good, but it's in a nice kind of decorative bottle, so people have kept it around. But there's no reason why anybody should be drinking that. I'll be rancid. Is it like a liqueur? Is it like a liquor? Or is it like a wine? I don't really know.
It's more like a liqueur, I'd say. Personally, I wouldn't want to drink it if it's been open too long. But it's more like, because it's kind of like marinated in this, it's almost like vodka, right? The spirit they put in with the plum wine. It kind of holds for a bit longer. So yeah, I wouldn't treat it like wine, but I'd still drink it and dispose of it fittingly in your mouth. I love that though. Sportsmen, like people in sports over here just get absolutely trashed. I have a good friend who's like a karate national champion, and he just gets absolutely wasted and tears up the bar, and it's kind of awkward. So I don't know why folks in sport here, they go a little bit too far. Do they do that in the UK? Do sports folk do that in the UK? Football? Yeah, they do.
They do if they're not footballers or rugby players. Well, rugby players get absolutely trolled. Yeah. I guess they all do, because, you know, I think it's hard to replace that kind of adrenaline and adoration and adulation that you get when you're in the arena of where you work. It's hard to replace. That's why so many footballers turn to drink. That's why so many musicians, actors, stars kind of turn to drink, because they don't get that, the same sort of reaction, same sort of vibe.
Absolutely.
YouTubers.
Somebody who hasn't done sports in about 20 years, I wouldn't know, actually. I wouldn't know the adrenaline rush. Yeah. Although I am trying to, I am going to climb Mount Fuji this year. Mark my words, Pete. I am going to climb Mount Fuji.
You keep looking at it. You keep bloody looking at it.
I mean, they say, what is a proverb, isn't there? A wise man climbs Mount Fuji once, a fool climbs it twice. I will be a fool, but I will climb Mount Fuji. You watch me. We've got a story this week that reads like an episode of Unsolved Mysteries, which is Pete's favourite show. And it's a story involving a man who woke up one morning in the early hours of the morning to find a stranger in his kitchen eating some pasta. And then he died. And that is the story. But it goes a bit more than that. The story begins: a mystery of the most unusual kind occurred in Sakai City in Osaka Prefecture in the late evening of 5th of May. At 11 p.m, a 60-year-old man got out of bed and went to the kitchen for a glass of water. As he entered the room, he was shocked to find a man he had never met sitting at the table eating a frozen pasta dinner. The stranger looked to be in his 30s and was wearing a T-shirt he had found in the house. When the 60-year-old man confronted him, the stranger simply said, "I came in the front door." He suddenly became erratic and violent and tried to flee. The resident's younger brother, who lived next door, heard the commotion and came in and helped to restrain the intruder. Meanwhile, the resident's father, who lived in the same house, called the resident's father. This guy's 60 already. God, how many people live in this house? He called the police. The officers came to the scene and arrested the stranger, but when they arrived, he lost consciousness. He was then taken to hospital, where he died an hour later. Adding to the confusion, the story above was according to a YTV report, but ABC News also reported on the incident with considerably different details. According to them, the intruder was in the process of heating up the pasta when he was discovered and was already not breathing by the time the police arrived. However, ABC cited no sources, unlike YTV. Bit of a mystery there. It might take some time before a clear picture of what happened that night is understood. It's also quite possible that no one except the intruder knew how he ended up in that kitchen, and the full truth may have died with him. That is such a bizarre story.
That is really chilling, isn't it? Yeah.
What do you think happened?
I mean, mental illness, drugs, I don't know, just some kind of mania, but it doesn't explain why he suddenly popped his clogs, unfortunately. Very, very sad, very weird, but it's hard to know what to make from it. I wonder what his vibe was, why he wanted the frozen pasta. Who has frozen pasta in their blooming freezer? That's what I want to know.
It's a lot of effort for a lasagna, isn't it? I don't know what he could have been on drugs. I doubt he was very drunk. He must have taken something. Yeah, I mean, the horror of just coming down and finding a man in your house eating your pasta. Don't know how I'd feel about that. But of course, we've only got the testimony of the guys in the house to go on, right? They could be lying. I don't know. Let's not get into defamation territory.
Might have been doing something weird. The little club, drugs and pasta club.
Drugs and pasta. Yeah. It's always, I swear to God, it's always Osaka. It's always Osaka where these kind of stories come out, isn't it?
Yeah.
The eccentric
it's
city.
Wild.
It is wild. And
well,
I mean,
there's no tourists in Osaka, so you've got to make your own fun. You've got to make your own crazy stories, I suppose.
I think, I mean, one thing about this is the guy probably didn't break in some respects, like physically break in through a door, because most people in Japan actually, to my knowledge, my experience, a lot of people don't lock their doors here. You can just walk into someone's house, which has always seemed quite frightening to me. Like a lot of my friends, when I was a teacher, a lot of my friends who lived in the same apartment block just left their door open. You could go in and steal their computer and their money and their umeshu plum wine. You could take it all. It was all for the taking. I didn't steal anything. I'd like to point that out
that
as well.
Clear. Yeah,
let's make that clear.
The cat burglar of
Hokkaido. People don't lock their doors as much, so... That's my warning to you. Lock your doors.
Well, not as much crime, is there? What are they going to take? Your pasta? Oh, good. Buy some more.
Yeah, I know, right? He didn't want money. He didn't want anything. He just wanted the pasta and the T-shirt.
He wanted faffele.
But we'll keep an eye out for what happened on that story. See if there's any follow-up to that. It's a real unsolved mystery. That is an unsolved mystery, isn't it?
That
would be on
the
series.
Unless the police... it would be in the series only if it was an unsolved mystery. The police had investigated. It was very obvious what happened. They say it's an unsolved mystery. It's not, though, is it? I mean, they found the perpetrator. They know what happened. And that's the unsolved mystery. Terrible series. Terrible.
You hate it so much. Terrible. I enjoy that. I enjoy hearing you pour out hate on unsolved mysteries. We've got another story here. It's a bit more upbeat. You might be aware of Upper Hotels. They're the cheapest kind of hotel chain in Japan. The rooms are really kind of stylish. The beds are nice. The bathroom's good. Only downside is they're very, very small. And of course, you've stayed in Upper Hotel a few times. Pete, you can attest to that. What are your thoughts
on
Upper Hotels?
Don't like the racist book in the room, but it's small price to pay for some excellent facilities.
There is a racist
on every floor. Pornography on the telly. Lovely.
That's the sales pitch for Upper Hotels. They've done something rather drastic recently, though. There's a new plan they've announced, right? And basically, for 99,000 yen, which is about $990, you can stay in Upper Hotels for 30 consecutive nights, which works out for about 3,300 yen a night, or $33. But here's the cool thing. You can stay in any hotel, any one of their hotels, right, in the entire chain, you can stay in there. So for 30 days straight, you could be like, oh, I'm going to stay in Shibuya tonight. Next night, I'm going to stay in Shinjuku. Next night, Roppongi. The good thing about Upper Hotels is they're everywhere, and they're actually in some really good locations. I hate them, personally, not because of the racist book, which is pretty racist and terrible, but just because their walls are really thin. You can hear like everything the person in the next room's doing. You can hear it to a worrying
everything.
Degree. Everything. It's quite unpleasant. But that is an undeniably incredible offer. And if you're willing to sleep through unsavory noises and willing to put up with the racist book and willing to bear the very small space you've got to contend with, I think that's an incredible offer. And I'd be willing to take it up. I would be willing to do that, actually. That'd be a really cool video. 30 nights on the road with Upper Hotels.
With Upper. Give them the advertising. Give them the advertising they don't need or deserve.
Have you ever seen whenever you stay at Upper Hotel, they always try and, because the prices are so cheap, they try and shove other things at you to try and buy other crap that you don't need, like ancillary revenue. And one of the things they do is Upper Hotel Shacho Curry. And it's like a little packet of curry with the president of the company. Is this guy, and his wife is like the face of the company. She's like the CEO.
Yeah.
And she's like an eccentric hat. Yes, the hat. And so they got this presidential curry, and it's just hair on every box. There's like really crappy looking boxes, every like desk counter, every Upper Hotel, and her face on it with this hat. And I'm told that it's delicious. But Natsuki finds it hilarious. We always take the piss out of it. because he maintains that it's completely unedible. But
the boxes look like kind of like it's from the Shaw era. Like the graphic design is terrible. Yeah. The upper hotels look quite cool, but everything with her face on looks a bit shit.
I mean, the lobbies are kind of, you feel like you're going somewhere good. You get into the lobby, and there's like gold plated.
They've got automated kind of card return kiosks and stuff.
Mm. It feels very luxurious. And then you get to your floor and then you see how close the hotel room doors are next to each other. And there's like no space between the doors and you know what you're in for.
Very underwhelming.
And if you come to an upper hotel with more than one bag, you're absolutely stuffed. I remember one time I had to sleep with one of my suitcases like on the bed itself. It was like having an animal sleeping in my bed. Yeah. So bear that in mind. But other than that, they're well placed. And the racist book, for those of our listeners that don't know, Pete, what is the racist book?
Boss of the company, big racist, tries to get you into racism by leaving a racist book in English in your room.
It's called The Real History of Japan. And
The Real History of Japan.
It's written, it's translated into immaculate English, though, and they've got like a few paragraphs on what really happened at Pearl Harbor. How was the Americans that started in? It's quite interesting. It's a good read. It's a good laugh. Because of that book, the Chinese Olympic team, I think they banned some of the people from staying there in Hokkaido. I don't know if the book's still there, though. It's a good read. You've got to check it out. We'll be back with the fax machine in just a moment after this break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back in the fax machine. What have we got this week, Mr. Donaldson?
We've got a message from your friend and mine, Toby from Milton Keynes. Dear Chris Sensei and Peter Sammer, whilst reminiscing on Twitter about my time as a ring announcer for a local wrestling promotion here in the UK, a Japanese follower of mine drew my attention to something that was so outrageously brilliant I just had to share with you guys. It seems that an enterprising wrestler in Japan has created a food delivery service where, for the princely sum of 100,000 yen, not only will dinner be brought to your door, but it will be delivered by wrestlers who will then proceed to brawl within the confines of your home. It seems there are various optional extras, including tag matches and even having a ring announcer to provide running commentary. Here's a link for the news article that was shared with me. I'd particularly be keen to know what kind of match Pete would request and what food Chris would order to accompany it. Hope all is well with you and yours, Toby from Milton Keynes. Yeah, just apparently a wrestler will rock up at your house and just kick seven bells out of your property.
That's amazing. That is like the ultimate party experience, isn't it? Like, you hear this a few times. Like, you can hire a chef to come round and prepare sushi, but like, to have a wrestling match in the comfort of your own home for $1,000, that's pretty good value.
Yeah, big fan of that. Yeah, you know, dinner and a show, and it's in your house. It's two big brawling wrestlers kicking shit out of each other in your house.
I think when you do come to Japan, we should do it, and you can film it for your Wrestle Me podcast where you talk about wrestling. Yeah. That'd be amazing.
Well, I mean, you know, Japanese shows are very varied. You know, you can go from, you know, your light tubes and your piranhas to one of the more famous ones is like fighting in a big bathhouse. So they've got kind of a pedigree for wrestling outside of the ring. But yeah, big fan of this.
Epic.
Thank you, Toby.
And you know, it's going to be a good performance. Like, Japanese wrestling is really well done. Like, the dedication to the course, incredible stuff. Have you ever watched one up front in person?
Yeah, I think I said before, Best of the Super Juniors at Currican Hall, like about four or five times I visited Japan ago. It was really good, really good. Again though, jet lag, man, starts to kick in. You're absolutely exhausted, you're like, oh, I'm really tired, but it was a really enjoyable show anyway.
I'd love to go. We'll do that next time you come over. Top of the list. We'll go and watch a wrestling match.
Go and see some wrestling.
Film it. Pro-res. Absolutely. We got one here from Kyle. It says, hey there, Chris and Pete. My name's Kyle. I'm from upstate New York, USA. I've been listening to the podcast for over a year and a half now. Thank you, guys. My question is rather personal. Whoa. Just a little background. I discovered my passion for the Japanese language in my last semester at university. Studying the Japanese language resonated with me like nothing else in my life so far, where I both enjoyed it and felt I was good at it. Though, alas, with this crazy pandemic and getting sucked into American work culture, my studying has suffered. Not only that, but I live in a part of the US with little to no Japanese speakers to casually practice with. From this, I've been feeling lost, and I'm not sure what I'm doing. I'm going on 24 years old this year, and hope my life starts to pick up again soon. With that, my question is, I feel really old now, 24. I remember when I was 24. You sound like life's ended at 24. It's just
I know, Jesus. I mean, let's make it very clear. There are only 24-year-olds listening. Life is a free hit until you're 30. Do not stress that out at all. Do not fucking worry about anything when you're 24. Good gravy.
Absolutely. Carl's question is, what advice can you give someone who feels lost trying to find themselves and their passions? Have you yourselves ever felt lost? And expanding on that, what is something you wish you could go back and tell your younger self? Thanks for reading the email, guys. As of now, I've started studying Japanese again from scratch. I hope to go backpack soon, as soon as the borders open up. Much love and best of luck in your endeavors, Kyle. Thoughts?
Thoughts, Pete? I mean,
come on,
never
Uncle
put
Pete.
Any pressure on yourself. No Uncle one Pete. Is doing Uncle Pete with my mustache and one tail. No one's doing anything. Everyone's pretending they're doing stuff under lockdown. Everyone's pretended that they are achieving things under lockdown. I feel the exact same way. I would have liked to have kind of sat down and learnt a bit more, but you know, it's hard to have any kind of personal kind of. Like pepping in that particular area because you've got nothing to aim for. You know, what's the point of me learning Japanese? I don't know when I'll be allowed in again. There's no point in me learning it. So don't worry about it. It's fine. Everything's fine. Like, you're 24. Don't worry about it. I hate to sound like an old man, but everything's a free hit until you're 30, and you don't need to pile more pressure on yourself because you're reading things from other people's, you know, saying they're achieving stuff, they're doing stuff. You know, I'm 40 now, and I can't drive. So
you're 40. I thought I keep thinking you're 39. You're 40.
I am. I was 40 last week, wasn't
I? You are old.
Terrible, gosh. Eh? So, look, and people who are 24 probably look at that and sort of go, the bile rising to their stomach. They're disgusted at the idea of someone being 40. It's so bloody old, but it comes around fast. But don't put any undue pressure on yourself. It doesn't matter. Everything's fine.
It comes around fast, but don't put pressure on yourself. That's the paradox.
Don't put any pressure on yourself. There's no point in having that anxiety that you're not going as quickly as you'd like. Just take it slow. And if you're not feeling it, don't fucking do it. Don't worry about it. But don't make more work for yourself. There's no need. And that's the advice that I don't take myself. Let's make that very clear.
I want a really anticlimactic self-help book written by Pete Donaldson. Every page contradicts the last page. A rambling old man.
Just sort of me going,
give up.
Yeah.
Do nothing.
Exactly. Yeah.
B24. I'd say, look, my advice to Carl, it sounds like you lost your dream for a bit and you don't know what you're doing. Just keep it right. I used to, when I was a student, I used to have my like dream written on the wall on a big piece of A3 paper, and I had it there the whole time.
And sickening.
It was sickening.
Career-minded fool.
It worked. I was like, I'm going to get a 2-1 in my degree. I'm going to start a business. I'm going to do that. And, you know, I think it's easy in everyday life to forget your goal or your dream or whatever. And so I do just keep right on the wall if you have to. Just keep reflecting on it every day and remember what your goal is.
I'm going to write on my wall, I'm going to get my deposit back from my landlord.
Don't do that.
I mean, Chris, you could have written a first. I mean, there's nothing to stop you writing a first on the wall, mate.
Well,
so,
I didn't want to,
Mr. Fucking Achievable Targets and Dreams, write a first on the wall, mate.
I think I did write a first in my second year. When it was clear I couldn't get a first in my degree, I downgraded my goal to 2-1. The goals can be moved. The goals can be moved.
Okay, but right, fine.
Just keep focused on your dream. Don't forget what it is and reverse engineer it. Like, you'll have time. You'll be able to come to Japan soon. I think we've had this from a lot of listeners over the last year that they want to come here, they want to see the country, and they can't, and it must be deeply frustrating. And I feel the same at the moment. Like, I want to go back to the UK. I want to see my family, my friends. I want to travel Europe and eat some pasta and pizza in Italy and just have fun, but I can't. And so it's just the way it is this year, unfortunately, Carl. But keep studying, keep practicing. If you can't find anyone Japanese in your local area, get something like iTalki, the website where you can kind of find an online tutor, but keep it up because when you do come here in a year or two, all the stuff you've just learned will be very useful. But in summary, right on the wall, put your dream on the wall, job done.
Lovely. We got a message from Derex. Hello, Derex. Hi, Chris and Pete. Hope you're doing well. We are. I wanted to ask you a question, Chris, as I've recently ended up with an interesting opportunity to potentially teach English overseas. Not in Japan, unfortunately. The issue with this is I'm currently 28. Another youngster given the big licks. Unbelievable. And I've spent several years working for a consulting company. Taking this position basically means walking away from everything I've worked for over the past few years, but this sounds way more fun. It seems risky to just drop everything and go to Asia, but on the other hand, you only live once, right? I think I'm going to do it. I'm just a bit scared. Any thoughts or advice for someone dropping everything to move overseas? Hope you boys are staying safe and that Pete gets his precious coolish soon. Derex. Hello, Derex.
We are staying safe, to put it bluntly. Staying safe with Pete Donaldson. I love that. I used to look at questions like this once upon a time when I was like 24, and I'd be like, 28, you're old. Now I'm 31, and I feel annoyed at anyone who's younger than me.
Hang out with me. Who's 40? It's nice to hang out with someone who's It's nice to hang out with people who are older than you, because it makes you feel good about yourself.
It's true. I think that's why all my friends are like 40, like you, Ryotaro, Natsuki. You're all. I just feel really youthful and brilliant, but I'm not.
Ian's cracking on as well, isn't he?
Yeah, Ian, the 39, producer 30, from Journey Across Japan,
maybe a little older,
I think. Yeah. Even Pete, the guy we talked about earlier, my good friend Pete, who's went to Hokkaido with me, he's 36, I think, or 37.
Right, okay.
Doesn't look it, but he's old.
No,
so.
Really doesn't. It's that look, that's the thing. He's got pep in his step. He's got charisma. He's got character. He just gives a little bit of himself. It's enjoyable. He's got joy in his heart.
He does. For now. For now, until he turns 40.
For now.
And as a kid. Yeah. I that's my tip to everyone listening to this. Just get friends that are older than you, and you'll feel very good about yourself. To Derek, I'd say, one day, Derek, you'll be on your deathbed, hopefully. You'll be on your deathbed and you'll think, oh, fuck, I wish I'd taken that job. It was less money, but it would have been one hell of an adventure. It would have been a lot of fun. Why didn't I do it? And then you'll die for the rest of eternity and that'll be the end of that. But what I'm saying is you only live once, if that is true. And so far as we know, that's what there is. This is all there is. You should try and live a life of minimized regret. That's my kind of way of looking at things. Mm. I often ask myself, if I do something, will I regret it if I don't do it? You know, if I look at the situation, if I'm not doing it, will I regret it? And if the answer is yes, I do it. Like, for example, journey across Japan. Did the Cessna, running the tiny Cessna plane over a volcano, an active volcano, through the sulfur in a bumpy plane ride that I look back on now and wonder how the fuck I did that, because it's terrifying. But if I hadn't done it, I would have regretted it. And when the trailer for Journey Across Japan 3 comes out next week and you see the footage, it is pretty epic. It's pretty cool. And I'd have regretted that.
I've had a sneak peek. It's very good.
Have you? Have I showed you?
Yeah, you lined at me. You sent it to me online. Yeah,
oh, I did, yeah. The benefits of working with me. You get to see the trailer. But like, yeah, just have that mindset, because there's nothing worse than regret. It can't be undone. And that's a key takeaway. And write it on the wall. Write on the wall, Derek. I'm going to teach abroad. Any final advice from Uncle Pete to crush dreams?
Don't do it. Have some fun. You need to read it, for fuck's sake. Come on.
Pete Donaldson has spoken. Keep the questions, comments, everything coming into abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back to do it all over again later in the week, guys. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll see you then to do it all over again. Bye for now.
Ta-ta.
Bye.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.